With the sixth pick in the 2014 NBA Draft, the Boston Celtics select Marcus Smart from Oklahoma State University.
This is Marcus Smart from the Boston Celtics, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Marcus Smart, what a spin move and a finish. Hard to handle Marcus Smart, whether he's outside or inside the paint.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Forum Studios. And we are a week away from the start of the NBA basketball season. It's popping up in a hurry. We're going to talk a couple of storylines, including the Utah Jazz, and a little bit more right now with our next guest, Jameson Welsh, who is our Drive Time Sports NBA insider. Jameson, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. We are a week away. I think the preseason's kind of gone under the radar. A couple of big storylines have popped up, but for the most part, the NBA is definitely not at the forefront of the national media right now.
Oh, yeah, the NBA is in full, it's bumpy in full swing. I mean, even with NFL underway and baseball being in the playoffs, like NBA, everybody's kind of curious what's going to happen. Of course, everyone wants to know what the Warriors are they going to three-peat? We all want to know what the Lakers are going to do. We all want to know what the Rockets are going to do. It's a lot of different storylines, a lot of different stuff going on. So it's a very curious situation. I think we all have an idea of what's going to happen this year, but we still got to play the games. And then also a lot of underlining things as well. What's going to happen with Anthony Davis? Are the Jazz and Blazers and Thunder going to take the next step? A lot of different things going on, so can't wait to see what's going to happen.
You say that we all have a good idea of what we think is going to happen, but you still got to play the games, and I agree with you on that. I will say this, though. I am not nearly as confident in the Golden State Warriors winning an NBA championship this year as I have been over the past 2 years. To me, it seems a little bit different this season. I know they go out and they get Boogie Cousins. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know when he's actually going to see the floor. And on top of that, I don't know if he's actually going to mesh. Now, along those same storylines, I know the Warriors have the best team in the NBA. Jameson, they're going for four in a row. That is extremely difficult to do. I mean, that's hard to do. They're going for 4 and 5 years, excuse me, right? 4 and 5 years. Yeah, 4 and 5 years.
They are, but here's the thing. Here's the crazy part. Last year they did something very interesting. There were guys that were quote-unquote nicked up and whatnot. So down the stretch, they rested guys. Something that doesn't get talked about a lot. I mean, some guys were actually hurt. But like Klay Thompson, who pretty much plays every game if he can, he rested like 2 weeks of the season. Like, they didn't really play him that much. Durant, kind of the same treatment. Like, a lot of the guys really, they got a little vacation at the end of the year, which is kind of interesting. I will say that the miles usually add up. However, usually the teams that are making five finals trips in 5 years or, 4 or 5 years or however you want to classify it, there's usually some breakage. However, most of those teams are older teams. So, for instance, in the history of the sport, especially in our generation, most of those teams have had older cores of players, guys in their 30s, guys on, like, the wrong side of their careers or trending down that side. This team still has a lot of guys in their prime. I mean, guys just turning 30. I think Durant and Curry are just now 30. Klay, Draymond, and DeMarcus are obviously younger. So they're going to be in okay shape. The thing with them that helps them out more than most is that, one, they have a team that's not afraid to rest guys, doesn't matter the situation. And, two, they have a situation where no one has to be on the whole night. Like, they have guys that can have an off night, they can still win. They can play their B-minus game and still win by 10. That's how good they are. But also, things do happen. I mean, of course, injuries. They've had some injuries in the past that haven't really done them a whole lot of favors. But their team, man, they're so good, so talented. Now they have extra motivation to try to get Boogie a ring. He came for less money, obviously, to join their crew. There's going to be extra motivation there. But again, you bring up a good point. Whenever a team is going for like basically five final runs in a row, it's really difficult to do.
It's difficult to do because things have to come together once again. And on top of that, I'm not going to ignore the fact that they may be a Chris Paul injury away from not getting to the finals last season, which would have been a disaster for this team. And maybe that would have, I'm not going to say, remotivated the squad, rejuvenated a squad, but at the same time, they were close. I think the Western Conference is a lot better this season as well, and we'll talk about one of those teams that may provide formidable competition, and that's the Utah Jazz. Obviously, there's a lot of expectations going into this season. Rudy Gobert in the preseason has looked pretty good. That's where I want to go with this conversation. He's been efficient from the field offensively in the preseason, and I get it. It is preseason. It doesn't count for anything, but going into his sixth season, if Rudy Gobert can stay healthy, and that's a big if, because he hasn't been able to stay healthy over the last couple of seasons, there's no reason to believe the Jazz can't be a top three team in the Western Conference this season, right?
I mean, I'll put it this way. They may be in the mix for top three, but the difference between 3 and 6 is going to be just like last year. It's not going to be a whole lot of games separated. I mean, the difference might be 4 games from 3 to 7. I mean, that's just how talented the West is. A lot of different storylines, but you bring up a very good point. Rudy Gobert is what makes the Jazz go. As good as Donovan Mitchell is, as good as the coaching is, Rudy Gobert, and this has been, I've been saying this for a while now. This isn't just some, you know, some hot take. Like, this has been the case even when Gordon Hayward was there a couple years ago. They go as Rudy Gobert goes. He's able to do things defensively that very few could do. And on offense, he's gotten a lot better to the point where you can actually run plays for him and you can actually keep him involved in the game for the full game. So with that being said, if he's out for a third of the year, it can really be the difference between playing a home playoff game or having home court advantage in the first round or scrapping in to get to the playoffs, because the West is that deep. Now, I think there's going to be some teams that step back. I don't think the Timberwolves are going to be as good. I don't think the Blazers are going to be as good as they were last year. You know, so there's going to be interesting. I think Pelicans are a 50-50 team. Just never know what you're going to get. However, the West is so deep and difficult, you just don't know what's going to happen. I think the Jazz have a good culture. I think they have a good core of guys. Everyone knows their role, so they're in good shape there. But they cannot, under any circumstances, if Gobert misses 10 or more games, they're in danger because they have no one that can replace what he does.
Correct. Again, our guest right now is Jameson Welsh, our NBA Drive Time Sports Insider. The Western Conference is going to be better front to back. Of course, you can't have a conversation about the West without mentioning the Lakers. Now we've had an opportunity to see this team play a couple of times. I'm curious to see how Lonzo Ball fits into the equation. I think they only get better when Lonzo Ball is actually 100% on this team. They're definitely deeper. When I talk about top three, top four teams in the West, Jameson, I'm still throwing the Lakers in that mix. And the reason I'm throwing the Lakers in the mix is because they have LeBron James, greatest player in the world, and they put together some interesting pieces around him. So, yeah. Yes, I think it's fair to put the Jazz in the top three. I think it's fair to put the Lakers in this conversation as well. And, of course, you have to talk about the Houston Rockets. To me, those are the top four teams in the Western Conference from what I have seen in preseason, gauging off of the eye test, and, again, looking at it on paper.
Without a doubt. No, you're absolutely correct. You know, we look at the landscape of the league, and we look at the Lakers. Lakers bring up very important to Lakers. They're a young team for the most part. I mean, LeBron's older, Jason, but they have a lot of young guys that are going to be playing a lot of minutes for them. And I've mentioned this on someone else's show that the difference between the Lakers and the Cavs is that the Cavs had established all-stars that kind of are who they are. So it's going to be very difficult to kind of mold them and kind of get them to buy into what you're trying to do. Lakers have the right mix of young talent that's still trying to find themselves, but at the same time show a lot of promise. Guys like Ingram, Kuzma, Ball, Hart, those guys are going to do whatever it takes to blend in with LeBron. They're not really going to combat what he's trying to do, what he's trying to say. They're going to try to make it work with him a lot more than Kyrie and Kevin Love did in that first go-around with the Cavs. So it's going to be an interesting fit with the young guy. As long as everybody can stay healthy, they have a pretty good team. When they finalize on the lineup, I expect their defense to get a lot better. I know it's been shaky over the preseason. When they finalize the rotation and the lineup, their defense should be pretty good because they have a lot of guys that can switch and hold their own on that end. So it's going to be very fun. I think the Lakers have a team that can be exciting. I think they can pretty much play at anyone. I mean, they have a lot of, you know, a lot of tools to be able to make some things work.
Nobody's going to want to play that team in the playoffs. I'm sticking to that. I said that on paper, and after watching this team play a couple of games in the preseason, nobody wants to see that team in a 7-game set.
Right, right. And especially with guys who are, you know, people know about Brandon Ingram, but they don't really watch him like that. I mean, Brandon Ingram's a really good basketball player who doesn't get the same respect as other guys get rather in the same draft class. So we'll see. It's going to be very fun. I mean, having a guy at 6'9 with that wingspan being able to dribble the ball from 30 feet and get to the basket on a regular basis is a pretty good thing to have. But also, here's my thing with Lakers, too. My biggest concern is, do they have a big guy outside of JaVale McGee that can play solid minutes? And that's going to be, no, that could be an issue going forward. But I tell people this all the time. The team you see now is probably not the team you're going to see in February.
Let's move over to the East, and because, again, the Western Conference is by far the most compelling of the two. It has been in quite some time. With LeBron leaving the East, I guess it brings some more intrigue, but there's no reason to believe it's not going to be the Celtics and the 76ers battling it out for the Eastern Conference crown. As far as seeing the Boston Celtics and getting Gordon Hayward back this season, and knowing that there was a chance that we could have seen Hayward last year, I mean, really, going back and looking at it, it took LeBron 7 games to get past this Boston Celtic team. And without Hayward playing essentially at all last season, to me, it's almost as if the Celtics acquired Hayward this offseason. I almost view it as that. Like, you're adding to a team that was one quarter away from getting to the NBA Finals. Boston is intriguing this year. The Eastern Conference, to me, doesn't do a lot for me once we get past Philadelphia and Boston. Outside of that, to me, I think it's going to be extremely top-heavy, three or four teams. But just based on the fact that we haven't seen Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving play together, I'm curious with the Celtics.
Well, we're all curious because there's a lot of guys that fit in. You know, you mentioned getting Gordon Hayward back. They already have two very young wing players that can play at a high level, and you're adding a third guy that's going to need to get minutes. Who's going to come off the bench? Who's going to start? Who's going to be, you know, who's going to miss shots? Who's going to, you know, it's a lot of things to, you know, worry about. Bringing Brad Stevens is an awesome coach. He's going to have his hands full with that situation, but it'll work out. Like, it's not going to be a situation where it's not going to pan out. It's definitely going to work out. However, a lot of questions that need to be answered, because when I look at that team, of course they're the best team on East on paper. That's what I doubt. Like, they are definitely, you know, the best team. Like, that's what, you know, not a question. But a lot of things to worry about and consider, because somebody's not going to get the minute they think they should be getting. And a guy to look out is Jaylen Brown. Like, that's the guy that, you know, he's a really good young player who feels like he's better than maybe he actually is, or, you know, maybe he's better as he, you know, as we say he is. He's really good. And if you're going to cut his minutes, who knows what that does? You know, there's a lot of things we don't know yet. Can't wait to find out. But, no, Boston's definitely the best team in the East. And I think Philly's the second best team. I think Philly, with the two guys they have, the two young unicorns that they have, they're number two. If they're healthy, they can push Boston, because they have two guys that you just can't do anything with. You know, you got two guys that are very, very dominant at what they do, and they're supposed to be better this year. So we'll definitely see. There's going to be a surprise team out East that either sneaks into the top four or is a really challenging team. Don't know who that team is, whether it's Washington, whether it's Charlotte. I have no clue, but there's going to be a team that comes out the blue and plays pretty well.
Toronto, I guess, has got to be in the picture as well. I mean, again, I have a hard time taking the Raptors seriously based off of what we've seen over the last 2 years, but I will point this out. For as big as a fan of DeMar DeRozan as I am, a lot of the problems for Toronto in the postseason was DeMar DeRozan, and they've replaced that with Kawhi Leonard. I mean, that's fair to say. Like I said, I'm a huge DeMar DeRozan fan. I love the guy. I love the way he plays. Love the fact that we have a two-guard that brings mid-range basketball back to it. Fact remains, he hasn't been good in the postseason, and they replaced him with an NBA champion.
Well, I'm all right. First of all, when it comes to the Raptors, there's one guy I look at and I point a lot of blame to. It's the fat point guard, and that's the issue. That's been the issue for a while now. That is a situation that, to me, when you have a guy that's an all-star and somebody is an all-star starter, and he doesn't play like when it matters, that's an issue. Now, DeMar's had his issues in the postseason, but the point guard position, the one thing you can't have such a disadvantage at that spot when you're counting on that guy. It's not like the point guard is a role player on that team. They counted on Kyle Lowry for so many years to pretty much play equal to his opposition, and very few times in the playoffs has he done that. It's almost been the opposite. It's almost been like, hey, what's going on? Why is he not showing up? So I think Kyle Lowry's biggest issue on the team. However, they did improve. Like, bringing Kawhi Leonard for DeMar DeRozan, they did improve. And nonetheless, even if they don't keep Kawhi, if this is a one-year rental, they get that salary off the books. So it's not a bad thing per se. My biggest issue with Toronto is this. Can they figure out their front court? Because Valanciunas and Ibaka, they didn't look well when they played the Cavs. Can they stay on the court versus teams? Because if their front court is able to play versus teams and they're able to be on there, they have a shot, because they, you know, Kawhi Leonard is going to be the best player on the court on any given night.
Jameson Welsh, again, our Drive Time Sports NBA insider. Jameson, before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Well, I'll be on here once a week during the season. I will be ESPN 1100 in Vegas, ESPN 1480 in Nebraska, Fox 1340 out in Mexico and in Vegas, 7:20 a.m. out here in Vegas and three other states. Should be fun. It should be fun.
Absolutely. I know you have kind of gone a little bit more towards just the radio waves, right, outside of the writing area a little bit more.
Yes. I mean, let's go on this. There's so much demand for NBA. Everyone's asking and begging for NBA. You know, everyone's talking about, hey, what's going on? You know, can we talk about this? Because it's a people have a lot of questions. There's so much going on. Like I told someone earlier today, the NBA doesn't stop anymore. There's just so many storylines. I mean, the Jimmy Butler storyline isn't going on for a while, but it's happened in September. You know, it's something where there's always, I mean, the Suns just fired their GM 10 minutes ago, mid-segment. So these things happen. There's always something going on, and it's always something to talk about.
Right. It's bizarre to say the least. Jameson, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
Not a problem. Thank you.
We got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return live from the Auto Forum Studios on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.